Today I'm bringing the word from the prophet Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This ends the reading from the prophet Ezekiel. A young boy lived in the country where they had no running water, so everybody in his family had to use the outhouse. The young boy hated the outhouse. The outhouse was hot in the summer, cold in the winter, and it was always smelly. The outhouse was located near a small river. In outrage one day, the boy walked down to the outhouse and pushed it into the river. Later that night, the boy's father told his son that he and his boy needed to make a trip to the woodshed. The boy knew this meant punishment. He asked his father why he was being punished, to which his father replied, "Because someone pushed the outhouse into the river, and I think that someone was you." "Was it?" his dad asked. The boy responded truthfully that it was. Then he added, "Remember when George Washington's father asked him if he had chopped down the cherry tree? George Washington didn't get into trouble because he told the truth." "That is correct," the father said, "but your situation is different. You see, George Washington's father was not in the cherry tree when his son cut it down." We've all been there. We've all done that. Things that we should not have done. Sometimes our emotions get the best of us and we simply react in anger or frustration without thinking about the consequences or how our actions will affect other people. We may even have regrets. How many times have you said to yourself, "If only I could go back and start over, things could be different now"? The good news is that God lets us make right what we have done wrong. God gives us another chance if we take to heart how we could do better the next time. This is why we have the season of Lent. Lent is a time for us to look inwardly at the mistakes that we've made. Lent is a time for us to come to understand how much our mistakes irritate God. so we don't make the same mistakes over and over again. Lent is a time to ask forgiveness from God and from those we've done wrong. Lent is a time for us to give up our sin in our lives so we can truly enjoy God's spirit of freedom and peace. On Ash Wednesday, Pastor Brad and I invited the church to come forward for what is called the imposition of ashes. As the church came forward, we marked the sign of the cross on your foreheads in ashes, repeating Jesus' words, "Repent and believe the gospel." Repentance is the spiritual discipline that I would like you to practice this week. Repentance is turning away from sin and back to God. Repentance is what John Wesley called God's act of justifying grace, grace which makes us right with God. Repentance marks the time when we give up our old ways and we begin to trust in God for salvation. Repentance is the beginning of new life in Christ. At this moment, I would like for you to take a hold of a piece of burlap. You'll see them scattered around the community center. Just hold it in your hand. My hope is that this piece of burlap will help you understand the importance of repentance. In the Old Testament, repentance involved rendering clothes or tearing your clothes, fasting, and putting on sackcloth. The sackcloth was a coarse piece of fabric that, when worn, reminded the wearer of how irritating his or her sin is to God. Sackcloth was made out of black goat hair. Burlap is the closest fabric that I could find to sackcloth. My intent is to use this burlap to symbolically represent our need for repentance. If by the end of the week you end up telling me that carrying around a piece of burlap is irritating, then I will tell you that you got the point of the message. The ritual of wearing sackcloth begins in the book of Genesis and is carried through all the way to Jesus' time. In Genesis chapter 37, Jacob wraps sackcloth around his loins after he is told of Joseph's death. In 2 Samuel, David puts on sackcloth to mourn the death of Abner, the general of Saul's army. I think repentance is very important at times of great loss. In 1 Kings, when Elijah finds out about all the evil done at the hands of King Ahab, Ahab tears his clothes and puts sackcloth over his bare flesh, fasted, and went about dejectedly. In Isaiah 37, just before the Assyrian invasion, King Hezekiah humbles himself before God on behalf of the people by covering himself in sackcloth. In Nehemiah 9, the governor issues a day of repentance once a month with fasting and sackcloth. Others who wear sackcloth in the Bible include Esther's cousin Mordecai, Job, and the people of Nineveh. In the New Testament, Jesus encourages those who have sinned to repent with sackcloth and ashes. Wearing sackcloth is a sign of remorse and humility before God that has been practiced since the beginning of God's people. On the edge of the Jordan River, John the Baptist appeared proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." John's cry for repentance is urgent. John's cry makes it known that repentance is necessary for life in the kingdom of heaven. John's cry for repentance is applicable even today in our country, perhaps even more so than any moment that I can remember in my lifetime. I invite you to offer a prayer of repentance on behalf of our country before you vote on Tuesday. If you feel the personal need to repent, what you do is simply take your piece of burlap and name your sin before God. Feel how irritating that burlap is. Look at how messy it can be. This is how God feels about our sin. Our sin is irritating to God. Our sin is messy in God's sight. Take your burlap, name your sin, and then ask God's forgiveness. When you are done, let go of the burlap and turn back to God, recommit it to living for Christ in the world. As I thought about how I will practice repentance this week, this is what I came up with for myself. What I will do is take a rubber band and I'm going to wrap the burlap around my cell phone. Now, if you know me, this is my life. Everything I do is on here. I use this all the time. If I have a piece of burlap wrapped around the cell phone, it's going to be irritating. I know it's going to be irritating. I know it's going to be messy. I know I'm going to hate it. But then I have to think, does God feel any different about my sin? No. That's why I'm doing it. If you need ideas for what to ask God's forgiveness, repent of those things we've already talked about in worship. You can pray, God, forgive me of my need for control. God, forgive me for not including you and setting my expectations. God, forgive me of my feelings of superiority. God, forgive me when I do not love my enemy. Asking forgiveness for these things that we've talked about already in worship is a good place to start. I have added a couple more that have been on my heart, and perhaps you can share with each other later in the service. First, God, forgive me of my complacency. Sometimes when I am comfortable, I tend to forget about the needs of other people. I know it is a sin to show no concern for the poor, for those treated unfairly, and for the outcast of society. To ignore the least of these is a violation of the great commandment, to love God and to love neighbor. I recognize this in myself on occasion. I repent of this sin. God, forgive me. Let me not be complacent in my faith. Here is another. God, forgive me for not making prayer a higher priority. At a recent men's meeting, we watched the movie War Room. How many of you have seen this movie? It is a great movie if you haven't seen it. After watching this movie, I realized that I needed to do better in my prayer life. The movie does well at showing what it looks like to have a lukewarm faith. A faith that is neither hot nor cold does not please God. I repent of this sin. God, forgive me. God, help me have a stronger prayer life. If you feel the need to repent, to make your life right with God, I invite you to pray, asking God's forgiveness. Perhaps the burlap can help you focus on your need for repentance. Carry this piece of burlap with you during the week. It's yours to keep. Every time you feel it in your pocket or in your purse, be reminded of your need to repent. I know this is going to be irritating. This is going to be messy. But ask yourself, are my sins any less irritating to God? The answer is no. After you pray for repentance, ask God to help you make a commitment to live in the light of God's grace. The prophet Ezekiel came to understand through his vision of the Valley of Dry Bones that repentance is beyond human power. God is the only one who can give us a new heart and a new spirit. Repentance in the deepest sense is like dry bones coming to life. When we repent of our sin, God brings life from death, joy from nothingness, and purpose from hopelessness. Jesus announces in the Gospel of Mark, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repentance is no longer a prophetic vision of dry bones coming to life. With Jesus, repentance is a real possibility. For what is impossible with men and women is possible with God. Repentance is no longer a response to the law. It is a response to a person. Repentance is an invitation given to us by the Master. Jesus points to himself as the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Repentance is the beginning of discipleship. Repentance is the beginning of new life in Christ. Let us pray. O God, we repent of our sin and we ask your forgiveness. Thank you for the mercy you offer to us in Jesus Christ. Through Christ, put within us a new heart and a new spirit. May this gracious gift so fill us with joy that we bear the fruit you desire as we turn our lives over to you. Amen.